Be glad you've got your WBAI. Become a member online at WBAI.org.
This is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smart his guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm pretty sure it's 5 a.m. and you're listening to All the Ides of October. See Trump subpoenaed radio. WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left side of the screen, and at the top it will say latest back of the book program links. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 111th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top story in the entire galaxy is we are still holding at the extremely high figure of 126 followers on Twitter. And on other planets, they are amazed at how many followers we have. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, November 9th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. There's also going to be an executive session local station board meeting on October 17th, that's this coming Monday, but you can't listen to that. The WBAI local station board met, or tried to, this past Wednesday, October 12th, but only 10 members showed up, and the meeting was canceled due to the lack of a quorum to do business. Part of the reason was that BAI had a fundraiser, and some people really insisted that they had to go to the fundraiser. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 624,181,110 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,566,194. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 96,019,000. 935,812. And the death toll in America was 1,065,042. So 2,622 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's slightly down from last week's death rate. It's still around 375 people dying every day. And we know that these figures are low estimates. We know that family members of the deceased and coroners are hiding the deaths especially. The pandemic is not over, no matter what Joe Biden says, but a lot of people are behaving as if it were. Keep your masks on. I got my flu shot weeks ago now. And yeah, I didn't go and get my bivalent shot this past week, but our new plan is on Monday, we're going to really make an effort to get me shot up with the new bivalent booster. And we'll see how that works. Pickles of the North has been thoroughly inoculated for weeks and weeks now. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. And we have some sad news to report. WBAI listener, former local station board member, member of the local finance committee, activist, BAI buddy for this program, and friend, Pat Logan, has died. A whole bunch of you probably know Pat Logan. You've certainly heard her voice calling in at times, and you will have seen her at LSB meetings and at demos and things like that over the years, going back years and years. And, well, I am informed that she died this past Sunday, and I'm told she died in her sleep and that she was not in pain when she died. So, it's a very sad thing. We knew Pat, and we would, you know, at various times, we'd be able to hang out with her somewhat. Remember going to the Waverly Diner with her one night after, I think it was it after an LSB? It must have been after an LSB meeting.
Yes, it was.
LSB meetings. Anyway, that's the local station board. And, you know, so we, and 1 year, the LSB met on 9/11. And we were all going over by the twin lights that they sent up into the sky that night. And we were all hanging out there talking about stuff. And, yeah, Pat was a good person. And, you know, she did well with the handicap she had. She was blind. And we are really going to miss Pat Logan.
Yep. We had many walks and subway rides with her.
Yes.
So, some good things came out of those meetings. I know. And she was not well this past, it sounds like the past couple of years. I mean, it's so hard. You lose touch with people during the pandemic.
Yeah. Everything's been done. All of the meetings and things have been done on the telephone or by computer. And Pat's computer was working, then not working, then mostly not working, and she didn't have email, and so it was less and less being in contact. She was at local finance committee meetings up until several months ago when we were informed that she'd gone into the hospital, and we passed a motion at the local station board giving her an excused absence, as it's called, for the duration of the time she was going to be in the hospital and all of that. And so, yeah, so that was a sad thing. We didn't know then that we were never going to hear from her again. Well, Pat Logan has passed away, and it's very sad.
And a belated happy birthday to our dear Maxwell J. Schmid of the Golden Age of Radio and Dustbin of History. Yes, he had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, and I think I was on my way to Canada at that point. So, sorry, Max. Missed your birthday.
Merry birthday, Max, you old fart.
Oh.
And so the piece of history that's going to be known as the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues. Somebody blew up Putin's bridge. Now Putin is bombarding residential neighborhoods in Ukrainian cities more than ever. He's really pissed off because, oh, his ego is more bruised now. So he's blowing up people's houses. You know, he bombs the capital of Ukraine. Maybe Ukraine should bombard the capital of Russia. There's a thought. If only they had it. You know, one of the things that happened when the Soviet Union broke up and everybody got to go their own way was they gave up their thermonuclear weapons. This is an excellent example of why, if you have thermonuclear weapons, never give them up. If Ukraine still had nukes, Russia would not be playing these games. Meanwhile, the Norwegian Nobel Committee has awarded the Nobel Peace Prize to human rights organizations in Russia and Ukraine, and to an activist jailed in Russia's ally Belarus. The Nobel Committee's chair, Berit Rice-Anderson, said the honor went to, quote, three outstanding champions of human rights, democracy, and peaceful coexistence. The Russian invaders are now also using Iranian-made Shahed 136 drones to destroy power plants and other energy infrastructure. Britain's Ministry of Defense said that Ukrainian forces have captured at least 440 tanks and about 650 armored vehicles since the Russian invasion on February 24th. The British Defense Ministry said, quote, the failure of Russian crews to destroy intact equipment before withdrawing or surrendering highlights their poor state of training and low levels of battle discipline. With Russian formations under severe strain in several sectors and increasingly demoralized troops, Russia will likely continue to lose heavy weaponry, unquote. In parts of the Kharkiv region, 22 torture sites have been identified, and mass graves have been found filled with bodies of hundreds of people who showed signs of being tortured before they died. This is what happens every time the Ukrainians take back territory from the Russians. They find these mass graves. Sometimes when the Russians bug out really fast, they find people dead in the streets with their hands tied behind their backs. Ah, Jesus Christ. Putin needs to go to The Hague to stand trial, I think. There have been reports of poor training and few supplies for the new Russian troops that Putin is calling up. Two Russian cities, St. Petersburg and Nizhny Novgorod, have announced that they were canceling their Russian New Year's and Christmas celebrations and redirecting that money to buy supplies for Russian troops. Sounds a lot like the early 1942 warm clothing drives in the Third Reich when they discovered, geez, our plan to take things over isn't working, and our guys are out there in the winter without winter stuff. So that's sort of what they're doing here. Yeah, and winter is coming. Although I think both sides are going to be very prepared for winter because they're both very used to winter. With the invasion going so badly, Putin has installed a new commander into Russia's Eastern Military District. The January 6th committee met this past Thursday afternoon. We were able to watch it on TV, and that was lucky because we are getting lousy reception in our TV set. We're not sure if there's something wrong with the antenna or the cable from the antenna to the TV set, or if the TV set is just falling apart, or if maybe there's some kind of problem at the broadcast centers. I should think it has to be on our end, because if this were happening to everybody else, there would be a lot of news stories about it. If you live in Brooklyn and you're having half your or more of your TV stations that you watch over the air disappear, write to us. Write to me. I'm rpm at glib.com. rpm at sign glib.com.
I got to say one more time, Arpal. Most people don't get their TV over the air anymore.
Yes, I know. That's why I said if you're listening over the air.
Oh, I know that.
People on cable, yeah, that's a different thing. But if you're listening over the air and you don't, and you've had a lot of problems this past week, let us know about it. It'd be interesting to see if anybody else is having these problems.
I'm just saying that I don't think the networks care that much about people that watch TV over the air anymore, because we're in a minority, so.
Anyway, the January 6th committee met, and we got to see them, and they put together testimony that showed that Trump was directing the insurrection. He started on this stuff before the election happened. He knew that he had lost the election after it, and had his, quote, big steal, unquote, rhetoric was a lie. He knew that the insurrectionists were armed when he directed them to the Capitol, and that his people were in communication with the Proud Boys group and others who were being insurrectionists. They were talking about what was going to happen on January 6th. They were planning this thing. It wasn't spontaneous. So, yeah, this is... It was amazing. They just put it all together. We've seen it before. They put it all together. We saw it. And, yeah, the fact is Trump and his pals were planning this ahead of time. They were saying it's going to be violence. Oh, boy. And, you know, voting, who cares about voting? It's the violence that counts. I think some of these people need to get a little bit of violence on them. And so this is what happened. And the committee voted unanimously to subpoena Trump to get him to come in and talk to them. That'll probably never happen. If it did happen, he'd just sit there and bloviate and take the Fifth Amendment. And I don't know, you know, when you take the Fifth Amendment in these things, you got to keep doing it, because if you start going off and discussing something, they can seize on that and force you to talk. Because you can't just say, well, I'm going to say what I please, and then I'm not going to answer the questions. I'm not. You can't do that. The Fifth Amendment is, it can be a little tricky. And he's stupid. So, yeah, if he were to go there, I think he would have to just say Fifth Amendment every time. So that would be about it. And getting subpoenaed is another first for Trump's presidency and post-presidency. No other chief executive has ever been subpoenaed to come before Congress and tell why he did stuff. Now, I think it was Thomas Jefferson who did get subpoenaed, but he ignored it and he was in office. And this was around the treason trial of Aaron Burr. And what happened was Jefferson had announced to the world that Burr was guilty while the trial was going on. This is not a smart move. And so the tribunal, which is led by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, oh boy, they, 'cause treason trials in America are a very complicated, big deal. This is because the colonists who found everything, they founded everything. They came from England, and they knew English history well. In fact, their English history was very recent, and in the very recent time, People have been called traitors for hundreds of years in England, and it was a way of executing people. If you want to look at a good example, there's Henry VIII. My wife is guilty of treason because she got laid. Meanwhile, he's out humping all these women left and right. And, you know, nothing happens to him, but his wives, who may not have been screwing around, treason, along with anybody who had sex with them. And so that was happening. And if you didn't do the religion right, treason. So they were hanging or beheading or whatever. They had a lot of different ways of killing people. And they were murdering people over treason. So the people who drew up the Constitution said, all right, before we do anything else, we make sure that a treason trial in America really has to be about something. It can't just be about, like, the chief executive says you're guilty of treason and so you're killed, which, you know, is why the Thomas Jefferson reference to Burr being guilty kind of resonated there. That got people upset. It was in the newspapers. That was, of course, they weren't great newspapers of the day, but they were newspapers. And that was the headline and everything, that he says Burr is guilty. And so, yeah, he got subpoenaed and he ignored it and nobody pressed it. This time, depending on how the midterm elections go, I think it would be pressed. If the Republicans do not take the House, I think the subpoena will be pressed and Trump will end up either having to show up before the committee, or we're going to see if anybody will do anything like lock him up for contempt of Congress. He'd have to show up for that trial.
Or I guess we could see if he's going to use any one of those three passports that he has.
Yeah, there could be that. That would be very interesting if he, like, bugs out and goes to, I don't know what, Russia, I guess, where his pal Putin is. Hey, I gave you all this stuff, you know, all the secret stuff. Let me in. Oh, sure. And then, you know, he'd have Trump up there endorsing his invasion of Ukraine, probably. Probably have Trump up there selling, you know, borscht on Russian TV or something to make a buck. Who knows? But what happens with the with this particular thing, this is about crimes, actual crimes committed by Trump. So that's a very different thing, I think. Oh, he so needs to go to prison. In other Trumpian news, former President Donald J. Trump appealed to the Supreme Court regarding the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals stopping his pet judge from halting the Department of Justice from using seized materials to make a case against him. The Supreme Court responded in a one-sentence order with no noted dissents. The Supreme Court said the application, quote, presented to Justice Thomas and by him referred to the court, is denied, unquote. So bleep you, bone spur. The decision from Judge Cannon, that's his pet judge in Florida, who was appointed to the federal bench by Trump in 2020, cited the potential, quote, reputational harm, unquote, Trump would incur if indicted. Well, you know, so she says you can't indict him. She is really saying there you cannot indict a former president. Above the law, hey lady, what the hell? Why is she still on the bench? She needs to be impeached. Anyway, so his reputational harm would occur if he were indicted. What reputation? As a grifter? As a Dracula landlord? As a philanderer? As an incompetent? As a traitor? As star of a pee-pee tape? God damn, that guy's reputation, I don't think you can harm what's left of his reputation. Harvard constitutional law professor Lawrence Tribe said, quote, "It's a bad day for the president and a good day for the rule of law," unquote. Well, I finally went to the VA hospitals a couple of weeks ago and got my eyes looked at, and my new glasses have arrived. I still can't see. I think they screwed up. It looks like either my eyes are really shot to hell, or it looks like they sent me the old prescription. Because to me, it's looking like the old glasses look just like the new glasses, you know, in terms of what I can see. So, I don't know. This isn't so hot. It's really difficult these days because when I go to read stuff, I'm squinting and it's hard. I got to hold it close to see it, and I need a lot of light. And, oh, man, it is not so easy seeing stuff for me these days. Not so easy at all. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Angela Lansbury has passed away. She was 96?
Yes, she was just about to turn 97.
Yeah, she missed 97 by a short time. And so she passed away, and she was an actor, and everybody's seen her. And Pickles and I have seen her early movies, too, and she was a kid. What was she?
I think she was 17 when she started in her first film. It's either The Picture of Dorian Gray or Gaslight. I can't remember which one came first, but she was a kid in both of those films.
Yeah, and she wasn't a star in those. Those were her first two movies.
No, she was nominated for an Academy Award, I think, for both of them. So
supporting, not...
Yeah, but still...
Yes, yes. So she did all these things, and she was in all sorts of movies. She was in the somewhat tragically prophetic The Manchurian Candidate, which eventually kind of came true, and lots of different movies, and she was on Broadway, and later in life, she was Mrs. Teapot or something like that in animation. She was doing Disney stuff, and in the animation, I think that was it, Mrs. T. I don't know what the name was. She was a teapot.
Well, she was in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. And so she did all of these roles. Of course, she did Murder, She Wrote, and which Pickle's parents watch religiously.
I could tell you, 5 days a week, they are watching that show. Because when I visited them recently, we watched that show.
And I've been watching it for decades.
Decade.
And so she did all of these things. And I never actually formally met Angela Lansbury. However, it was a time when I used to go to a place that not a lot of people knew about. You might have heard of the Hotel Ansonia. It's on Broadway between 73rd and 74th Street in Manhattan. It's this big, ornate building, and it was a hotel. Well, it had a basement. The basement was a place called the Continental Baths. This was a gay bathhouse. This was like the ultimate gay bathhouse. This was the gay bathhouse that had been around for a long time and which was very famous. And of course, when the AIDS pandemic hit, after a while, they realized it's sexually transmitted. And so they shut down all the gay bathhouses. And well, that's another story to go into some other time. So there were the Continental Baths down there underneath the Hotel Ansonia. And what happened was, at a gay bathhouse, you went in, you paid your money, and they gave you a key to a locker and a towel. You then went into the locker room and you got undressed totally, and you put all your clothing and everything into the locker and you locked it up. You wrapped the towel around yourself in whatever way you pleased, and you marched off. There were all sorts of accommodations in the Continental Bath, which is typical of a gay bathhouse. There was a general admission where you just went in there and you were wandering around, and there were various different rooms, or you could rent a room, and you could go rent a room and it would be your own private room for whatever number of hours. What did they give us? I think they gave us like 24 hours in that place. And you would meet people and bugger each other, and similar activities, you know, many gay male sex activities going on all over the place. And you would have the orgy room. You can guess what happened in the orgy room. And sometimes it would be like the rush hour in the subway, with guys all crammed in there, rubbing up against each other. And boy, it was really boner time there, and, you know, buggery going on, like I said, just like the subway at rush hour. And so we would do all of that, and, you know, you can guess what else happened. So we had our fun there, and then they had an outside part, and that part they would have entertainment in, and they had a place where you could buy, like, coffee and stuff, really overpriced. And then there was a pool, and on past that, there were the showers. And the showers had an opening, sort of a window. It didn't have any glass, and it was an opening so you could watch what was happening while people were entertaining everyone. You could watch the entertainment and wash off, or have some shower fun with some friends while you're watching the entertainment. So, you know, I went to this place, and one time I was there, this is in the early 70s, and what happened was I'd been there on Saturday, and I was there, it was through Saturday night, and here it was, it's very early Sunday morning, and I'm there, and I say, I want to go swimming in the pool. And the place is fairly dead, because by Sunday morning, a lot of people are sleeping it off or have left to go home. And so it's not a lively place. Not a lot of buggery going on at that hour. Not a lot. And so I say, I want to go swimming. And I look over, and there's somebody sitting at one of the tables in the entertainment area. And she's leafing through the New York Times, the Sunday Times. And I look. It's Angela Lansbury. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because, you know, celebrities do show up at times. And we're in Manhattan. I've seen bunches of celebrities around that area. Yeah, I have. Anyway, some of them male. And so I'm there. I had a quandary, you know. She's there, and I want to go swimming. You don't put on a swimming suit. You take off your towel and skinny dip. And so I had a big quandary what to do. She's there. She's female. What do you do? And being really exclusively gay in those days, I really didn't have anything to do with women. And I wasn't sure what the protocols should be. Is it really a bad thing for me to get naked and go swimming back and forth when she's, 15 or 20 feet away? And, you know, she wasn't directly looking at the pool or anything. And so I had this thing of, what do I do? What is the proper thing? And then I figured, well, look, it's a gay bath. I can go swimming in here. And besides, if she's, you know, some other guys are walking by and she isn't bothering with us and she isn't looking directly at the pool. So I dropped my towel and jumped in and started swimming laps back and forth, because I was in very good physical condition. I was in great shape in those days. And I'm swimming back and forth like mad. And Angela Lansbury is sitting there not that far away from me. And there she is. So that's my story about not meeting, but being in proximity to Angela Lansbury.
Oh, boy. I really enjoyed hearing that, Arbol, especially since I had to spend a week watching her on TV with my parents. Oh, we can never tell them this story. We could say it to you, dear listeners, but not to the parental units. No, no.
Very fast. I just want to mention something amusing here. It isn't often that you get that much amusing stuff about chess. Now, I used to talk a little bit about chess on this program, and I tried that out as a regular topic, and oh boy, that was the biggest failure we've ever had for a topic on this program. Because sometimes we would pick up various things and we would have them as a topic. Sometimes they would last several weeks or months, sometimes years. Chess didn't last more than a few tries. I think we tried here and there, and people just didn't give a rat's zinger. They didn't like it. I wanted to talk about it because it was a serious part of my life at one point when I was a young man. And I haven't played chess in more than 44 years, but I was very hot about it at one point. And I knew a lot of the people in it and all of that. Met Bobby Fischer and other people whom you've never heard of who are big deal guys. So there's this chess story that's going around right now. And the current chess champion of the world is a Norwegian guy named Magnus Carlsen. And Magnus Carlsen, I won't get into the World Chess Championship. It's a long discussion, and I have opinions about it. But he's the current world champion. And he dropped out of a big tournament, a big deal, high money tournament. He just said, I'm not playing anymore. Because he lost a game to a chess player named Hans Niemann. Hans Niemann is rated much lower than Magnus Carlsen. And the chess ratings are done in a very scientific way. And they really do say who's the stronger player. So if you have a much stronger player losing to a much weaker player, you know it's a stronger player losing to a weaker player. Why? Magnus Carlsen says that Mr. Niemann was cheating, and he's getting signals, because what can happen now is, this is something that didn't used to happen years and years ago, now there are chess computers that you can just buy. You can buy a high-power computer, put some very serious software on it, which is free, and that software is stronger than the strongest human chess player there is. You don't have to go to the supercomputer that has AlphaZero running on it, which is an unbelievably powerful chess computer. You don't have to go to that. You can just get an ordinary off-the-shelf computer and run this other software on it that's free. And Banks, what is it? Stockfish. Stockfish is the name of this one. There are others as well. And in some cases, you can really just crush any human being. This is especially true toward what's called the end game. At the end of a chess game, there are fewer pieces on the board and there are fewer options. Years ago, people set computers to analyzing end games, and there are things called table bases. These table bases have worked out what happens in an end game exactly, because they can go through billions upon hundreds of billions of positions and figure out what the best moves are. Now, years ago, I know this had been done for if you had five men on the chessboard. I have heard that the number is now up to seven. So what can happen is the computer knows these positions and it can aim for them. Whereas a human being can try, but human beings can largely memorize it, and in some of them they can do okay, but a human being is not a computer. So you can cheat in chess by telling one player what to move. Well, that's the crux of this. Because it's being alleged that Mr. Niemann used anal beads to get the information. They're vibrating beads that are a sex toy. And what happens is you can send a vibrating signal to somebody, and chess notation is pretty easy to send. It's just like D4, D6. That's it. That's a move in chess. And, oh boy, you can tell the person exactly what move to make. And so it's being alleged that Niemann had these anal beads in his rectum and was receiving through Wi-Fi, I think it is, signals saying what moves to make. And Carlson is angry at this and walked away from a very big deal chess tournament over this. And the chess world is all a flutter over this particular thing. And I have to say, people tried to cheat when I was playing chess, but nobody ever did it this way. New York City Councilman Lincoln Restler of Brooklyn has introduced a bill in the city council that would enlist regular citizens as bounty hunters for illegal parkers. It would have people call in complaints about cars illegally blocking bike lanes, sidewalks, and intersections, and pay them a 25% cut of, quote, any proceeds collected as a result, unquote, of the process. So a maximum fine of $175 would result in the person making the complaint getting $43.75. Oh boy! Opportunity. Councilman Restler said, quote, too many parents with strollers, people in wheelchairs, and bicyclists face unsafe conditions every day because of sidewalks and bike lanes obstructed by illegal parking. NYPD has refused to take this issue seriously, so it's time to empower and incentivize citizens to help make our streets safer, unquote. The bill would require the city's Department of Transportation to create a civilian reporting program where eagle-eyed observers could submit complaints as well as evidence of alleged violations. The Transportation Department would, in turn, bring the proceedings before the city's Office of Administrative Trials and Hearings, using the evidence submitted. The police department doesn't like this bill. They say that they have issued hundreds of thousands of summonses for parking violations in the past year. A police spokesperson also said, proposed law will pit neighbor against neighbor and will likely lead to violence. Pardon me, I interject. Yeah, we don't have any violence in the city. Oh, continuing with the quotation. Hardworking traffic enforcement agents who wear an NYPD uniform and have extra legal protection enshrined in state law are assaulted dozens of times per year after issuing summonses. This law would outsource that risk to everyday New Yorkers. The legislation, while well-intentioned, leads to more problems than it solves, unquote. You know, we could make that a new way to raise money for WBAI. Listeners could call or email in their complaints, and WBAI could call them in and get the dough if the owner of the vehicle were found guilty. Oh boy, we could have the parking summons department of WBAI. This sounds like a great opportunity. We won't have to go begging so much. We'll just have people call us up and say, hey, there's some schmuck parked in a sidewalk over here at Tidy Titan Tide. And we'll just call that in. And when the guy gets busted, we'll get 25%. This is a great way to do things. I'm going to encourage people to do that. WBAI, we can have a program on it. You can call it in on the air and say, yeah, the guy is parking over here. It was, oh, boy. And we'll call up the Department of Transportation on the air and report it. You can hear the whole process, and we'll make money doing it. Oh, this is a great idea. I think we have seen the future of fundraising at WBAI right here. It's going to be glorious.
And coupled along with the new gun laws, gee, it ought to be just swell.
Hey, we got some very thick windows on the third floor studios. I don't think that they're going to get a good enough angle to penetrate, especially with those handguns they'll be carrying.
Well, you know, there'll be people reporting this who will be carrying guns. There'll be the violators will be carrying guns. It'll just add greatly to the livability of New York City.
Yeah, but we'll make money.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Sure. Sure we will, Arpa.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. With all that, you know it's time to start pitching. Okay, so we have this plan where when the city allows people to turn in other people on a bounty hunter thing and say, this idiot's parking on the sidewalk, we're going to get rich for WBAI over that. But until then, we have to do it the old-fashioned way. We have to beg you for bucks. Yes. We have to do that now. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York. In our pre-bounty hunting for scofflaws pitching time. And listener-sponsored isn't just a slogan. It's real. It's actually a legal declaration. We are sponsored by you, the listener. And that's how we do it. And what we're doing right now is begging you to become a BAI buddy. We need BAI buddies. A BAI buddy is what we call our sustaining members. This means that you would be donating. We're asking you to become a BAI buddy and donate once a month to the radio station. Now, what you do to become a BAI buddy is call 1-212-209-2950. When they pick up at the call center, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then they'll ask you about your card information. You can either put your donation on a credit card or a debit card. And you then tell them how much you want to donate every month. It can be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever in there or more. And that will really help. $5, $10. $5 means you're giving us $60 over the course of a year. So if a few of you will do that, we'll have some more BAI buddies. And right now we may have 1 or 0. And so we need to get BAI buddies. We need buddies right now. Will you become our buddy? Call 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Tell them your credit card or debit card information, how much you would like to donate every month, $10, $15, $20, $5, whatever. And you then tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. That way it's convenient for you. Because you don't want it happening like near the first of the month if you got a ton of bills and it's a problem. Put it anywhere in the month that you want to do it. Although if you put it on like the 31st, some months probably won't work out well. But who knows? Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. We got to hear from some folks. We got to hear from some folks now. And, you know, we can't acknowledge you on the air in real time, because this has to be pre-recorded these days. We're still having to pre-record all of these radio programs, and we've discussed that previously. But we need you to call in. We need calls to come in and say, yeah, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. If you become a BAI buddy, you also get a really nice-looking WBAI tote bag. Oh, will everyone be impressed when they see you carrying around your head of lettuce in a BAI tote bag. Ooh, look at that. A head of lettuce in a BAI tote bag. Woohoo! Anyway, you know, we need to, we joke around, but we're serious. We do need to have people call us up. We have a financial issue here, and if we can get some more BAI buddies, it will help. One of the things is, it's not just the money, it's also being able to count on the money, because management then can say, okay, we can see that this money's coming in on a regular basis, and we can figure out what bills to pay. and what bills to not pay. That's a lot of what we get. We get a lot of, we ain't paying this bill yet, and it kind of mounts up. But if we could just become self-sustaining, it will help a lot. It will also help to stop other people at other stations from saying nasty things about BAI. So 1-212-209-2950, and also we pitch, and we're pitching for the other overnight programs too, because the other overnight programs, all the programs from midnight to 6 a.m., they're called the overnight programs, and there are people who say, let's just rent this time out, rent this time out to another radio station, and you know, flip a switch at midnight and bang, whatever the hell some other radio station wants, it goes over 99.5 FM. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, you turn the switch again and BAI is back on the air. This is what we would do according to some people. So if the overnights can't show any listenership, and this is part of what we get, if the overnights aren't showing listenership, then we're going to all get hacked by management. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. And this program, we cover all sorts of things. We do science stuff a lot. Today, we're not doing really the science stuff. We've got some stuff backed up that I got to get to. And we did have, where else do you hear a story about almost meeting Angela Lansbury while you're bare ass. So you don't hear that story anywhere else. No, you got to tune into BAI to hear about how a guy 50 years ago almost met Angela Lansbury in a gay bathhouse. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. And you know, you hear all sorts of things on the air here that you won't hear anywhere else. Probably a good reason for that in some cases. And, yeah, I know my story would have been obscene and they would have cut it from any place else. But at BAI, you can say these things. BAI was running gay programming in 1962. And at that time, the New York Journal American said, look what they put on the air. They had homosexuals talking about how good it is to be a homosexual. Take away their license. There was really a call from the New York Journal American to take away BAI's license for that. And, you know, today, I'm sure they wouldn't like my Angela Lansbury story. So we have all of these things that happen here that are different, and the overnights are always different. Please, please, we need you to call 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now and help to keep WBAI alive. Call up 1-212-209-2950 and tell the person who picks up the phone that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And we thank you for that. And that has been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
Now, next week, we are preempted for a fundraiser. If we could raise enough money, we wouldn't be, but we are. So, we will be back here on October 29th. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll be talking about all sorts of things then. I'm going to see if we can get some science stuff into that program. It's going to be more autumnal. It's going to get cooler, and the leaves are falling down, and we're going to get towards Halloween. And if you're able to eat candy, get some candy. I can't. But, you know, have fun. And above all, remember what that glad to be swimming around bare ass in a pool Dormouse said.
Winding your way down a Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day, drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. So many people, but it's got no soul, and it's taking you so long.
big thing that happened in 91 was the Soviet Union had collapsed. And I think at that point, the pressure on the New York people was so great that they began to admit gay and lesbian members. But the party never apologized or had any kind of self-critical discussion of those 60 years of its ban.
Lesbian activist and former Communist Party member Bettina Apthaker discussing that party's decades-long ban on LGBTQ membership. Tune in Tuesday, October 11th and October 18th at 8 p.m. for Out FM's two-part conversation with Apthaker about her exciting new book, Communists in Closets, including the history she documented of queers Lorraine Hansberry, Harry Hay, Angela Davis, and others. Apthaker will share the devastating impact of the queer ban and the heroism of those who played crucial roles despite it. That's Communists in Closets on Out FM, Tuesday, October 11th and 18th at 8 p.m. here on listener-sponsored WBAI.
Do you think this war will ever end?
I don't know. They'll just have another one.
I want to get out of here. Don't you?
Not that much.
So you like it here?
It's not that bad.
You're in a foxhole with a war raging outside.
I know. That's why I'm sure glad I've got my WBAI.
Be glad you've got your WBAI. Become a member online at WBAI.org. Now, do it now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. And just a quick shout out, this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock, we have a fundraiser for WBAI, and it's all about how to slow down and reverse the aging process. All of us are getting older. It's just some are getting older much faster. Some are getting older without diseases, and some are getting older with a lot of diseases. All this is within our control. And I produced a documentary based upon five independent clinical studies that I conducted over the last 3 years, and you see the results. We're still waiting for results today and tomorrow to come in so we can announce it on Sunday. And so it starts at 1 o'clock. How long it goes, I do not know. You'll be seeing the full documentary, then questions and answers afterwards. So if you care about aging, I believe most people do, then you're definitely going to see this because it will help a lot of you. Because the way we age, it creates disease. So in effect, this will help prevent that disease.
That's a WBAI fundraiser webinar Sunday, October 16th from 1 to 4 p.m. The premiere of the Biological Aging Challenge, followed by Science for Hire. And you can register online at GaryNull.com or you can call 877-627-5065. Again, it's a fundraiser for WBAI from 1 to 4 p.m. You can call 877-627-5065 for this fundraiser, the Biological Aging Challenge, and also Science for Hire. Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. 877-627-5065. This is listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
On a move, the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition, New York City, and the Love Not Fear campaign will be standing with Mumia's legal representatives on Wednesday, October 19th, 9 a.m. at the Philadelphia Common Pleas Court as they seek to overturn the fraudulent conviction for an award-winning journalist, father, husband, 40 years wrongfully convicted elder Mumia Abu-Jamal. To reserve your seat on the Freedom Ride charter bus headed to Philadelphia, go to bringmumiahome.com. That's bringmumiahome.com or call 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029 for more details. No justice, no peace. Release all political prisoners now.
This is Phil Donahue. I have 600 channels in my home, but 400 of them are selling the Beaufort.